Every year I go through this in the month of December because it's probably the most critical work I do with anyone, and including myself. Because in order to create greatness in your life, there has to be structure, and there has to be planning, and there has to be persistence on your part, and there has to be a belief, and all these things are the necessary ingredients to creating the best possible year that you're going to have. They don't just fall in our lap by chance. Yes, could you win the lottery yet next year? Potential for some of you. I should say maybe on this phone call you got one in a million chance because, you know, there are hundreds of millions of people that participate in it and they only have one winner each time they do the lottery. But, I mean, why play your cards in your life? Why bet your life on chance and circumstance instead of choice and commitment? And that's a great question to ask yourself. Why do I keep living my life based on chance and circumstances instead of choice and commitment? And that's where I want you guys to move into the area of absolute choice, absolute commitment, because that's truly what creates greatness in your life. It creates fulfillment. It creates all that you want in life. Now, you know, where do we start? We have to figure out what we want in life first, right? I mean, that's a basic premise for all of us. So last week's foundational work that we set out to do and I laid out for you in our call last week really reflected a lot of that basic format that we need to start with, because I have this great sheet that starts off and it just says that I've learned over the last 20 years of my life that everything starts from your values. You know, your values are your base opening core, you know, foundational block, because from values becomes your vision. If your vision is inconsistent from your values, your vision will never come to fruition because you're living a life of inconsistency. You're wanting this, but your values are inconsistent with it. It's kind of like, I think I talked to you guys about working with a woman that was in the mission field, and she goes, Mary Jo, I've always dreamt of having a house in Hawaii and da-da-da-da-da, a beautiful house on the beaches in Hawaii, and I was amazed to hear her talk like that, and I give people credit for whatever they, you know, whatever your belief is. So I started saying, well, is that consistent with, you know, what your core values are? And she said, what do you mean by that? So we want to kind of walk through all that. And, you know, when we got done with that conversation, it was like, and I even done with it, but halfway through, it was like she said to me, you know, I always had that conflict inside of me saying, if that's going to cost me $250,000, is there someplace better I could put those dollars? And I said, so if you had that house on the beach and you had the joy of what that house could give you, which is looking out every day on the ocean, after 2 months of it, would you be sitting back going, wow, this has been beautiful, but think of what I could do with what I just invested in this instead. You know, I mean, so it really was that conflict that she had. And I said, so I'm going to suggest to you that you may want that. You may see that as something that you envision, but maybe a flight to Hawaii once a year will satisfy that. But in the meantime, you've got this other incredible core value system that's telling you that you're all about contribution. So when you sit in that house with a beautiful view, you're going to be saying to yourself, could I be contributing more effectively? And it was really wonderful because it resolved, when you resolve those conflicts that you have, internal conflicts, that's when you're going to have the greatest breakthroughs in what truly is most important to you and be able to then reset. But it starts with values. So last week I said list the 10 most important values, and I gave you a website to go to that had 418 values. Did anyone tackle that? Anyone want to tell me about their trying to grasp onto values? Just take yourself off mute and give us a contribution. We need you guys to contribute today because that's what this call's about, is to hear from some of you who've done some of this struggle. Anyone? Got a quiet group this morning. Everybody's busy wrapping Christmas presents and decorating and sending out Christmas cards by email today. We don't have anyone who wants to pipe up. Well, some of the experiences around values is really about how do you limit it to 10? Because that's one of the things that is so troublesome, because when you read that list of values that I sent you a link toward, you're going to find a massive quantity, and they all have some meaning in your life at some point, right? You're going to grab onto most of them. You're going to read through and say, yeah, that's great, that's great. But it, when you start having to have to eliminate a bunch of them and choose, that's the huge process. And I'm going to suggest that you spend a good, dedicate 5 minutes to that experience, dedicate an hour to it. Because it's a troubling process for us to really find out what's most important in our lives. And it will totally change your life. When you can figure that out, you will shift like never before. How do I know that? Because I did it myself. I know it by experience. I know it by others' experiences. I know it by the trainings I've done around it. So what happens is we start shifting because we see what is number one most important to us in our life. For me, that value, I'll share my experience since I didn't get anyone else to kick in here. I know what my most important core value is. My most important core value is called contribution. It's my number one core value. And I found it through this exercise of trying to limit myself to the top 10 values, and then I had to go from that. I had to put them in order of which one's most important, and then I had to cut them back down to 5. What are my 5 most critical? And then put those in order. And it was an amazing process. Painful, painful, because it didn't sit with me really well. I felt a struggle internally. I didn't necessarily, yeah.
That is Rudy.
Hi, Rudy. Great. You want to contribute to us?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
No, I want you to. Good.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pipe up here. You know what I did a few years ago? You had us put down our affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and I went through the process because Mary Jo told me to.
Yay, Rudy. I wish everybody was just like you. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I did them, but... You know, and I thought I was emotionally involved and all that, and I wrote them all down, and I've been going over them, you know, weekly and daily. And last week when you started this, and then you said, do your homework, and I tried to do the goal homework just as you were telling me, but I went back to my affirmations.
Uh-huh.
And I went to them with a lot of emotion. I don't know what caused me to do it or whatever, maybe the words you said or whatever, but I went through them, and I got more detailed, and they went... I went over them with my accountability partner, and she says, you got to get more positive with that. But she goes, what you're doing is very heartfelt. And I rewrote them to where, and I never experienced this before, the emotions started coming out.
Wonderful.
Never experienced it before. I got teary-eyed, kept writing them, all that. So now I'm going to redo them and type them, of course, so I can go over them. But... this is the first time, and I've been reading them, and this is the first time I got emotional over them.
Wow.
Now it's going
Rudy,
to change.
Rudy, you're hitting it the nail on the head here, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think next year is going to be a better year for me. I know it is because of what I've written down, and that's why I'm going to put it down in hard print so I can go over it.
Wonderful.
I want to thank you for that, but I'm going to still do my goals. The only thing
great.
Is that I...
Great. But affirmations are huge. And what you've experienced is the connectiveness with your heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, and let me suggest that's not an easy thing because we don't want to dig that deep. We feel there's pain. When you start connecting with that heart and you start really digging deep, you can uncover a lot of things that were painful. You can uncover a lot of past. You can uncover a lot of emotional history. And so what we do is we play safe. And you chose, Rudy, to quit playing safe. When you tell me you got very emotional about this, I know you said, I'm all in. I'm not playing safe. I'm all in. I'm bearing my soul. I'm all in. Right?
Yeah, I forgave myself, you know, for thinking.
Yay. Wow. Rudy, this is awesome.
Yeah, and I said, no, you're okay, you know.
Yeah, you are okay. You're not just okay, Rudy. You're terrific. But I'm glad you at least got to okay because, before, you know, you were never going to move very far not thinking you were okay. You get this? You know, it's so funny. We go out there and we try to create greatness because we want to. This is great. You are a great example. We go out in life and we try to prove to people that we are okay. so that we are, and we're going to do that by accomplishing something in Manatech, when you're doing it backwards. You're trying to do to prove your beingness to somebody, okay? You follow? Including yourself, where you need to start with, who am I? It's part of that be-do-have matrix, that triangle. You, Rudy, are now okay with Rudy. Now, nothing will stop you because you're not about doing to prove anything because you already got it. You are, the greatness is within you just as you are.
Yeah, and you know, I said, Mary Jo's been teaching me all these years, you know, by using her gracious time to do that. And I've been listening, but not being all in. And I said, she's wasting her time with me by teaching me. I should do something, you know, more so
yep.
that it is not wasted.
Great.
And so I'm going to, of course, my New Year's resolution, my whole rest of my life resolution is to do something more positive.
Yeah, there you go. Be open, honest, and be open and honest with self first, because that's where it starts. If you can't do that, that's the hardest person it is to do that with is yourself. You know that. So you've conquered that. You're making huge headway, Rudy. Thank you and congrats, and thank you for being the teacher of the moment. You will never know how many people are on this call today that relate 100% to what you just shared. Okay? So thank you. Thank you for the share. Super. So anyway, so you heard from Rudy. Great, great share. And it really is about getting back to that, you know, beingness of who it is we are and digging into ourselves and being free with ourselves, allowing yourself. It's called allow. Allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to go there. And for those of you who say, but Mary Jo, it's too painful. Are you kidding? If you don't go after that, it will forever be there. It will forever be the rock in your knapsack that you're carrying around. You don't even know you're wearing it, but it's there, and it's a 100-pound weight, and you think you're going to climb a mountain, but you're choosing subconsciously to carry this 100-pound weight around with you. And me, because I come from a Christian perspective, that's impossible for me to do, because if Christ could give his life on the cross to forgive me, what makes me incapable of forgiving me? That's really crazy. That's really, when you think about it, I don't have to die on a cross and be crucified to forgive myself. I've been forgiven. I have the ultimate forgiveness. So I need to look at my life and say, you know what? My life hasn't been perfect. I haven't done everything right. I've screwed up. I've made mistakes. But you know what? I forgive myself. I'm still made in his image, and you know what? I move forward to work in the perfection of that. And that's the way we go. So we all need to do it. Great. Thanks, Rudy. Great. Great heads up. All about values, all about getting clear, getting clarity. And affirmations, we'll talk about it later on, but affirmations are really, you can incorporate all these things in statements of affirmation to carry you forward, because we need reminders. How many of you could raise your hand right now and say, yes, Mary Jo, I need a reminder? Absolutely. We need reminders every day of how we need to walk in that light on a daily basis. And that's what affirmations are. They're statements about who our beingness, who we are, and how we walk in this earth, and how we show up on this planet, right? And most effectively create great results in our lives. So handle that. Tackle the value structure. Make sure you conquer that. If you want more interaction with that, find your accountability partners are terrific. You know, if you got a good one, work with them. If you don't have one, find one. If you need some more help, contact Upline. If you can go Upline. Or, you know, I just pray that you find somebody who can support you. It could be Crossline. There's a lot of Crossline support systems that have developed over the years, and I'm an advocate of that, because I don't think we're across line. I think we're all in one line. We're all in alignment over this mission 5 million. So let's work together to create the best possible results. So great. So get those value, the value exercise down. How I want life to be, you know, the stream of consciousness is a great place to start, where you just give yourself an hour of free time, sit down in a cozy corner with a little soft music in the background that doesn't interrupt your thought process, but helps you open up and start writing. And then your to-be list, of course, we talked about that. What are the leadership characteristics you want for yourself? Did anyone get some insight on that? Leadership characteristics on the leadership characteristic list I sent out last week as well? I can share with you a little bit about some of the things that, you know, and you go, okay, so Mary Jo, what did you find out? And I try to find at least, you know, 3 to 5 that I really want to work on. And there's a couple of them that, you know, it's like the second or third year they're popping up. So it's something I'm really going to put high on my list. One is patience. I have a tendency to not exhibit as much patience as I need to. So I'm going to work on, this is my number one word this year, 2014, is patience. That's really incredible. The other thing that I wrote down is disciplined, and that seems to keep popping up. And I think that's part of my, you know, no excuses by any way, but when I look at my major quadrant is the I quadrant, the inspirer, right? And I think inspirers tend to be less disciplined. Just my impression of it and reading about inspirational people, because we don't like rules. And discipline is another word for rule for us. And so it's really hard for us to tackle that. Although I have a big piece of me that's also in the C quadrant and some D and as well as that. I mean, I have all of them. But my major quadrants are the I quadrant, and I have the C as the other one. So I have to look at those things, and I have to say to myself, okay, so I need to start really following the rules and being more disciplined. So one of the things that we're implementing, Lydia and I, not only do we have a calendar system, but we're going to be, we used a computer this past year, and it didn't work as effectively for me as a printout, because I just somehow, I need that piece of paper in my hand, and some of you may feel the same way. So starting the new year, Lydia and I are not only having a calendar printout on a daily basis, but our to-do list on a daily basis printed out. It's one of the decisions we've made for 2014, and that's going to help us with discipline. I have some people in my organization that said they used to use like the Franklin day timer, and they stopped using it, and they see all the difference in the world now of having that being part of their life. And when we go through next week's class, which is going to be based on some Andy Andrews things, you're going to even have more fun with this because of the calendar system that he has developed. So we'll have more fun. So those are just a couple. Patience, discipline. So those are kind of the things, some of the things, just to give you some ideas of what I've gone through and what you need to, you know, all of us, you know, if we want to make a better, tomorrow, if we want to create something greater tomorrow, we need to make changes in our lives today, right? We need to start putting those in place. So anyway, to-be list, draft the to-be list, and then what plan do you have to acquire these? How, you know, like I said, I gave you a plan that I developed already with the you know, publishing my calendar and my to-do list every day, having a piece of paper that has all of that outlined instead of just on a computer, which wasn't as effective. So we're going to be doing that starting the first of the year. So that's a plan, right? That's my plan of being more disciplined to my structure. We need to have a plan. How do I plan to be more patient? Well, part of that, Lydia and I are working on that because she's the one that's victimized by most of my impatience. So we're working on triggering systems on how that's going to be, and I'm sure by the first of the year we'll have that in place. But we need to have a plan. You can't just choose leadership characteristics you're going to increase in your life. You need to have a plan of how that's going to happen. And I'm going to give you some suggestions. You know, John Maxwell has written some of the most outstanding books on leadership characteristics. And so one of the things you can choose to do, which I always recommend because I'm an avid reader myself, is that you pick a book that supports that. If fear is one of your problems that you have, that you've been dealing with, that you want to, there's some great, Susan Jeffers writes a great, Jeffries, I think her name is, writes a great, great series of books on fear. So if you're looking for books that will support you, maybe contact your upline or contact Mary Jo, whatever you want to do. But I want you to be aware that there are 101 tools out there to help you move forward. So don't stay stuck and say stay stuck because you don't know what you don't know you don't know. You follow me? Don't stay in the darkness. We're either green and growing or we're ripe and rotting. And there are things you don't know that you don't know. That's what you want to tackle. And there are ways of tackling those. So be in the mode of growth, green and growing. That's your philosophy for 2014 we all should take. We're all green and growing, green and growing. I'm green and growing. And you heard Rudy. I mean, Rudy for years was following Mary Jo and doing what she said, but he was going through motions. And he finally got into the emotion, right? And you heard him and how powerful that is. What an incredible. And he found forgiveness of self. That's so huge. That's gigantic. I can't wait to see what he creates this year. As he puts that behind him, it brings tears to my eyes to think about how incredible that experience is. So we all need to walk through that, walk through those doors that are there that we've closed in our lives that we need to open and start releasing. Okay, so draft a to-be list, work on those characteristics, and put a plan in place for each, how they're going to be implemented. Your vision statement, your why, what is your why? You know, must know your why and why you do what you do, which requires an understand the purpose and value of all that we do. And clarity is so important. We talked about clarity last week, and I take a lot of this out of Tony Jiri's stuff because he's terrific around this issue. And that means having clarity is having an unfettered view of your vision, which is what you want, why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value. All of that is called clarity, and we need clarity. So what is your clarity? Do you have clarity around, you know, why are you doing Manatech? Why is this important to you? Your why could be many things. Some of you might tie a why directly into saving millions of children. You know, there's a tremendous amount of emotion around that. If you really are looking at what our goal is, what our mission is, 5 million children. And I see us, you know, I really have a huge view of the next 12 months in Manatech. A lot has to do with youth. A lot has to do with our new burgeoning spirit. A lot of it has to do with cleaning some things in the house. But mostly that I believe we have a new group. We have a core group of people that really have stuck through the thick and thin. We've had people that have come back on board and renewed their commitment to Manatech like never before. And we're going to see that $1 million. We're going to see that, or I should say, $1 billion company hit 1 million children this year. That's a 10 times growth, people. Not 100% where we are today, but 1,000% growth on where we are today. We're between 80 and 100,000 children a month, and I'm saying we're going to get to 1 million. So think about that. Isn't that great? And that's my vision, and I have clarity around that. But that's a vision I have. And so saving millions of children, financial independence. Many of you in the process of that, you can say, I'm building financial independence for myself and my family. And that appears in many ways to all of us. I mean, I just had a weekend spent with my niece and his wife. They are newlyweds. They were married a year ago in September, and they're looking at buying a house. They live in San Diego. Has anyone tried to buy a house in San Diego lately? I know some of you are on this phone live in that area, and you understand exactly what I'm talking about. If you tried to buy a house that was my house here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that's worth probably $250,000, something like that, if you tried to buy this size house in San Diego, it would cost you $2.5 million. Really. Out there, you buy a house with 1,200 square feet, it's like $900,000. It's incredible what the cost of buying a house is. So why do I bring it up? Is because part of my vision is to help these kids do that. I want to see them be successful and achieve the dreams, because I know a couple of years down the road, they're going to want to start a family. Because David's already 30 and Kate's like around 27, 28. So, they, you know, by the time they're in their early 30s, they're going to start a family and they want to have a house. So that's a vision that's part of the American dream that I don't believe should fade. I think it should be with us. So how do we accomplish that? We do it. I want to be a part of that process. So, you know, financial independence for self, for family. What do we want to? How do we want to contribute to our family members? All of that can be part of your whys. Health in the world. You know, my current why is, you know, I just started writing checks. you know, and each church in Brazil cost me $12,000. So I'm starting to write a check every other month for $12,000 to build churches in Brazil. That's a huge goal for me. It's a huge vision for what I have for my Manatech business. And in order to do that, my Manatech business has to really grow. Otherwise, it comes out of my, you know, my other assets. And I want Manatech to be, that's a vision I have, is that Manatech supplies that growth in Brazil for building those churches. When you see yourself and you could say to yourself, well, how do I know, Mary Jo? I think I have clarity, but I'm not sure. Well, first of all, I want you to think about articulating your vision, because if you don't get clear in your vision on your why, then you as a human being, you as a leader of your group, will forever be pushing people to their goals. You'll be pushing people, pushing people, pushing people. And some of you might feel that right now. Oh man, it's like it's like trying to roll this boulder, and it's like it's rolling uphill. Every time I roll it up, I have to brace it, because if I don't keep it braced, it'll fall back down. That's pushing. That means there is no vision. You're not helping that person create their why and their vision, because when you have a vision, you have a why, then what happens is that goal actually pulls that person. You will no longer have to push that boulder up the hill. That boulder will go up the hill because their goal will draw that boulder along, and you won't have to be the pushing force. You will be the one, think of yourself as a leader that just fine-tunes a few things. You just clear a path here, or add clarity here, or give them nuances over here, and you open up the floodgates that they already have within them. Don't hold them to be inadequate. Hold them to be totally adequate and totally able, and now help them discover that in themselves. And as a leader, that's big piece of that puzzle, is getting them to see that, have the clarity of their vision, so that no longer is it pushing. If you're pushing, you haven't done the first step, which is why when you even look on my training site, what's the first thing I list on my team's training site is your why, getting the clarity in the why. And that's critically important to have. Symptoms of lack of clarity is, number one, people don't believe they can do what they have to do. People don't believe it. They don't have a belief system. They don't have clarity, they're not going to have a belief system to support it. The second thing is people use planning to avoid taking action. That's a real symptom of lack of clarity. So you get stuck in planning. They always want to plan. Let's start planning. Instead of, what's the other important thing to do besides plan? I'm not saying don't plan, but take action. But if you get stuck in the planning system where you always find yourself planning, you are not creating, and you have a lack of clarity. Because clarity and vision will drive you to create, not to get stuck in the planning. Because that's a stage you don't want to stay stuck in. It doesn't create the results that you want in your life. You'll stay stuck in planning. And people quit. The third concept is evident of lack of clarity is people quit or give up in the face of adversity. One little thing happens and they give up. Just like what I talked about the Green Bay Packer game yesterday. When that defensive lineman came off the field after they had just given up a touchdown, and it was an incredible touchdown, by the way, Dez Bryant getting his feet down at the last second. Yeah, but it was an incredible touchdown. But he was devastated because he thought, oh, was that adversity? You have a team that was down by 23 points at half that just knew that they had to basically come out with their best possible defense to hold them scoreless in the second half in order to come back to win, and bingo, they gave up a touchdown. So it was like, 10 feet forward, 3 steps back, 10 feet forward, 3 steps, right? Exactly. And he came off the field, and what did that quarterback do seeing that downness in that person? He went over to him to build him back up. In the face of adversity, he was ready to quit, and he added clarity.
Form today is real good. It's got goals and things for you to place the right stuff down.
Oh, yeah.
But her call is like, really, you need to put me back. Hi, whoever's talking in the background, I just heard you. Can you put yourself on mute? Lydia, okay, great, thanks. Anyway, so you want to make sure that whole concept of you don't quit or give up in the face of adversity. If you find yourself doing that, know that that gets back to the fact that you don't have clarity. You don't have your vision down. You don't have your why. So, and you can take this and apply it to other areas of your life. Just like I just gave you the application at the football game yesterday. Clear. Right? All right. Your reality. Do you have it clear, clearly written? This is going back to what we talk about, you know, life is art. You know, I love that book, that structural tension. And I think, you know, I got written, I think Stephen sent me an updated sheet that I'm going to incorporate for next year on structural, you know, tension that we create. If we don't get clear in our reality, you got to sit down. And I think part of that was what Rudy did too when he talked about getting clarity around he wasn't forgiving himself. He was carrying baggage around himself. And if he didn't forgive himself, how was he ever going to move forward? Very, very hard. We stay stuck for so many reasons. And it's and most of it is we've tucked it away. We've put it in a knapsack. We're carrying that $1,000, you know, pound weight in our knapsack. Get rid of it. You know, allow yourself to be free from that. Past doesn't control your future unless you give it that control. So release it and move forward. So get really clear about your reality. And don't stay out of judgment around it. And once you get clear of reality, now you're going to get more and more clarity about the steps it's going to take to reach the goal that you've set. And I think part of the things of releasing some of that is the seven steps that can change your life. How many people, do we have anyone on the call that did the seven steps to change your life from last week? Seven steps that can change your life. If you haven't done it, take it out and put it on your to-do list for today. Because, you know, these are all great exercises, but they don't work. It's kind of like, okay, Mary Jo, I want to lose 10 pounds. I'm gonna lose 10 pounds in the next month. And you go, but you don't ever go and do the exercises. You don't go to the gym. How does it work for you, right? It's crazy, man. It's the same thing. If you want to create a better tomorrow, do the exercises. Everyone adds value. And the minute you do the exercise and you feel a twitch of pain or you go, oh, I've done this before, I don't want to do it, stop and say, wow, what is that? What is that? What is it when you look at these exercises and dismiss them? Because there's something deeper going on for you inside of you. Ego, I don't want to uncover pain, I want to stay protected, it's too painful, right? All these things, there's something that, and so don't let your little thing talking in your brain talk you out of going through the exercises. So make sure that happens. Seven steps that can change your life are great. Because if you don't get this, and this is a really important week, because not only do I need you to go back and finish the work from last week, but we have this week to go on forward on, which is setting our goals. But let me just read the practical effect of clarity and performance. People have to believe in what they're doing. They must be committed to achievement. There must be a certain amount of mental toughness and resilience to persevere through difficulties and roadblocks. A certain amount of legitimate excitement never hurts either. I have plenty of that going on. So for all of us, but the rest of you, really be clear about a certain amount of mental toughness and resilience to persevere through difficulties and roadblocks. Because do we know one thing for a fact? Are we going to come up against adversity? Absolutely. Are we going to have difficulties? Absolutely. I mean, some of you already today, I get people who call me and go, oh, Mary Jo, this woman wants to send back her youth skincare. She says it's not any different than what she's using now. And I'm going, okay, great. So what was your response? And they go, well, I don't know. That's why I'm calling you. Exactly. I mean, is there going to be adversity? Some people the skincare is not going to work for because they don't even want to have a mindset that it's going to work for them. I mean, they have an initial roadblock from the get-go. I know it works because I'm having miraculous results, right? And I've seen it over and over again in so many people in my organization, at my church, all across the board. So I'm ecstatic about it. But are there going to be naysayers out there? Absolutely. But some of those people are just negative people, too. They're going to be naysayers about everything. If they didn't find it, they're going to be a naysayer about it. If they're doing another product, they're going to be naysayers about it. I mean, there are 101 reasons why people will find fault with something, and it's not because there's something wrong with the product. So get some clarity around it. But we had someone, I think I shared with you, no, I didn't share with you last week. We have a store. I'm going to share this story, and maybe this will help you as well. We have a health food store that's actually carrying youth now because they loved it so much. They're carrying it. A woman came in and bought it. She came back 3 weeks later, and it was a week ago. She came back, and she wanted to give it back. She said, well, you said there's 100% money-back guarantee, and I'm not seeing a difference. And the associate in my downline, who happened to be in the store because she works for the store, she said, she started talking to her and sharing with her about how, you know, not everybody sees the same differences. It takes time, you know, it's not always about what you see immediately. And she said, I just got this email today, and she popped up Mary Jo's before after now 2 months. I have a before and I have a 2 month picture that I put back right next to each other. And she showed the lady right on the computer those pictures. And you know, that lady not only kept her bottle of youth, but she signed up. She said, no, how can I get this cheaper? I want to do it for 6 months. So she signed her up as a member, and now she's on automatic order as a member for the next 6 months. So, but you have to have resiliency. You have to be ready to take on adversity. And will that always work? No, of course not. But I just gave you that example of a time where when you have pictures and you can show people, and you can, that's why I don't like the pictures perhaps around 2 minutes, because if people don't have a difference in 2 minutes, then they want to bring it back. So you want to use some of the pictures. We didn't have very many of them because the only ones that have had 2 months of this today are people like Mary Jo who were in the trial period with it, right? So, but there are those pictures out there. So sometimes it's better to show 2 months because then you get people convicted to try it for 2 months. Because if that can happen to Mary Jo in 2 months, oh my gosh, what's it going to do for me, right? So anyway, but you need to, you know you're going to have adversity. So, but if you have clarity of purpose and will, it's going to carry you through all that adversity. Okay, set your goals. Goals need to be what? This is our next step. So if you haven't laid the foundation from last week, you're already a week behind, so we need you to get to work on finishing that. The next step is setting goals. Goals must be SMART. A lot of this people have heard a million times, but let's just run through it so everybody gets it. Some of you perhaps not. SMART, S-M-A-R-T, specific. So they need to be specific. So what is not specific? I want a better marriage. Is that specific? I don't think so. It's not real definable, right? It's surely not measurable, right? Or I want to make more money. Great. Is that specific? No. How much more money do you want to make? What is it that you want to make? I want to produce better results in my Manatech business. Is that specific? No. So it needs to be specific. You've got to get very clear. This is part of the clarity issue. You want to make sure it's specific. So what would a better marriage look like? That you start asking those questions. I've gone through this 101 times with people. What does a better marriage look like? And I said, what would you have to do in order to have a better marriage? Well, Mary Jo, I don't know. And I go, okay, so maybe you don't know. Can I give you a hint? And they look at me and I go, time. And they go, time. I go, yeah. If you spent more time one-on-one with your spouse, that's how you get to know each other better. That's how you have a better marriage. Now, some of you can't fathom that, but it's true. Trust me, it's true. It's an incredible concept that's been true over all the ages. So they say, okay, great. So I said, so what can that look like as a goal to be specific? Right? You can say, oh, okay, so I can spend, you know, one date night a week with my husband, just the two of us, for at least 3 to 5 hours. Great. Super. Super. You know, it's one of the things I did for when my first stepdaughter got married. Every year I would pay for them to go on a vacation together, leave the kids with, you know, grandma or grandpa, whichever family, grandpas they wanted to, and go off on a vacation. And it was so powerful for them. It was called their getaway. And they didn't have the cash resources to do it, so I provided that for them. It was incredible. Because I was so convicted about building that marriage. My other stepdaughter, she has the resources. So they have no problem getting away. But it just depends on the people. But you want to make sure that you have that time. You dedicate time. And especially when the kids get involved in the family life. Oh, my gosh. You really lose that time alone together. So you have that makes it a better marriage. Measurable, I wanted to make more money. That's not measurable. I want to be making how much, right? Measurable, $10,000 a month. I want to make $7,000 a month. I want to make $25,000 a month. Whatever it is that you want, if you're talking about making income, I want to, or you want a measurable, how many children? I want to help nourish children. That's not measurable. By May 1st, I want to be responsible in my organization for nourishing 1,000 kids. That's huge, right? I want to be responsible for nourishing 60 kids. That means you're going to be a national director. I want to be responsible for nourishing, 200 kids. That means you'll be an executive director. You follow? You can, if nourishing children is a better way for you to phrase it, that's great. Use that terminology, but have it measurable. Achievable. You can make these things that they're achievable. So don't sit there and tell me you just signed up in Manatech and you want to be platinum presidential by December 31st. You got 2 weeks to do it. I don't think it's happening. It's not achievable, because when you do things that aren't achievable, then you get discouraged. So don't go that direction. So make them achievable. Now, funny thing is, with youth today, I think they're a lot more achievable, quicker results. So we're starting, because we're seeing that happen, because it's a very marketable item that doesn't take a lot of education to get somebody to start on it. So the idea is that we're going to see faster results with people, but still make sure you're achievable. How do you best know that when you're brand new? Talk to your leader upline and talk to them about what's achievable. And don't ever, as a leader, set goals for somebody else. You help them make a commitment on what they're going to achieve. Because if it's somebody else's goal, the person will never achieve it because it's not theirs. They need to have ownership in it, right? So make them achievable. Risky, you want to push yourself. So don't tell me you want to be a regional director. I just signed up in Manatech. I want to be a regional director by December 2014. Regional means 15 people in my downline. Wow, that means one a month for the next 12 months, and maybe somebody else will bring in one. Is that risky? No, not risky. Push yourself a little bit. Timely, put a time frame. There are dates on every single goal. There's either a start date or a completion date. What do you mean by that? If I'm going to have one date night a week for at least 3 to 5 hours with my spouse, starting what day you're going to start that? Okay. A completion date would be, I'm going to be helping nourish 60 children every single month on or before March 31st, 2014. Okay, there's time. 6 categories are goal. You want professional, intellectual, physical, financial, spiritual, social. I do that because I want all my people to be well-balanced human beings. So it's not just about Manatech. It's about your entire persona. So I like to have 6 categories of goal setting, and that's what you're getting from me attached to this outline. The Manatech goals, of course, we know team bonus requires 600 GPV, right? The regional is 1,500 or 15 people ordering 100. National director is 6,000 GPV, and executives 20,000, presidential 60,000. And when you look at that, when you hit those different goals, I tell people that when you get there, you look at it in different levels. When you break them, like regional, you're making about 150. National, you're making 600 to 800. When you first break it, if you're doing a lot of activities, signing up people, you'll be up to 1,000. The executive level, you're going to be making about 1,800 to 2,000. Presidential, you're going to be making 5 to 6,000 when you hit that. That's just an average. That's not a set in stone, but an average that's out there. And Manatech publishes those numbers, so you can look at those. And the other thing, the step C in the outline is write down for each of your goals what has kept you from reaching those in the past. That's important to do because if you write down what's kept you from doing it before, you'll have an idea of what the roadblocks are. So now you'll know what you need to overcome. It's a great exercise. So circle that and highlight it on your sheet because it's big. Review all of your goals. Make sure they're all personal. People leave out the word I. If you don't put I in your goals, then who are you making goals for? Make it personal. Use present tense. So you don't say, I will be presidential director. I am presidential director on or before December 1st, 2014. I am. Present tense. Always use present tense. Why is that important? Because when you use future tense, even though it is going to occur in the future, your brain will go, okay, that's later on. You just add fuel to the fire of procrastination. And I'd rather you use fire to burn it away. Right? We want to get rid of procrastination in our life. It's an evil trait. And too many of us carry it. or see it pop up. Use live action verbs or feeling verbs. Be brief. Be positive, not negative. I always tell people, don't lose things. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. That's negative. I weigh 120 pounds by or 140 pounds by an extra. That's good, okay? So don't say I'm going to lose weight, because everything you lose in life, you tend to try to find again. That's why people, I mean, there's a whole theory about why people can't, when they lose weight, they regain it, because they've lost it. And we have a mental state, subconscious. What I lose, I find again. Share your goals with a support team. Write them down on 3x5 cards. Read them every day. Know the results of your goals and the consequences of not meeting them. I gave you a one-page document attached to the outline that gives you a great support system. It gets emotional connectedness. What will it mean to me if I don't reach those goals? And I want you to write down there, if your goal is to be national director by Manifest, let's say, for some of you are executive, that write it in terms of how many children that you're going to help nourish. So then when you say, what will the consequences to you and others important to you if you fail to accomplish your goals, how many kids will die because you failed to meet your goal? Wow. And I'm not trying to be brutal about this, people. I'm just saying, put it in a real perspective. If I don't meet my goal, how many children will not be alive because I didn't get to that number to nourish them? I want it to be real to you. Because it's real to them. It's real. Every 6 seconds, a child dies of malnutrition under the age of 5 in this world today. And our mission is to end that. So let's make it real in that way, right? Make it real. So know that. So build that accountability sheet that I've attached to the outline. Make the connection between your belief system, between optimism, responsibility, goal setting. You got to stop the disconnect. The belief system's got to be clear. You got to have the goals and you got to believe it. Just like the Green Bay Packers yesterday had to believe it. If they didn't have the firmness of belief coming out of that halftime, they never would have accomplished what they accomplished. And next week, okay, people, we got through it. So I know I'm running a little late. And I say, now you're at the top 3%. Remember, only 3% of this world ever writes down goals. And I want you to be part of the top 3% because they create 10 times the results as everybody else on the face of the earth. So have written goals. Have written goals. If you knew it was automatic, catapulted you into the top 3% in the world, why wouldn't you do it? Because you don't like it? It's inconvenient? It causes some pain? It takes some energy? Come on. I'm huge in this area. This is critical for me. Next week, we're going to take additional steps. So I want you to get caught up on doing this work. It's crucial for year end that this work is accomplished. Next week, we're going to go back to Andy Andrews in a big way. We're going to go over two things, making 7 critical decisions, and we're going to start on the 7 decision perpetual calendar. Okay? All right? So those two things we're going to cover in next week's call, and then that's our last call for the year. So I want you guys to get us through as much as you can. Get on the call next week and help share with us on what you've learned and what you've accomplished, any struggles that you're having, because all of this is going to build for you an awesome 2014. But most important for all of us and for all those children, we're going to create unbelievable differences in children's lives next year in our Mission 5 Million because of you and because of your energy and because of your effectiveness, because you chose in December of 2013 to get serious in a whole new way about taking your Manatech business to a new level. And I appreciate each and every one of you. I love you all. Thank you for being a part of this process, and thank you for stepping up and making the commitment you are going to make in your Manatech business for next year so we all can hit that million children mark by December 2014. Okay, everyone, I love you all. Have a great week. Don't forget, last week of the business period, so tackle all those issues as well, but put your energy behind this. I know you have 101 distractions. Trust me, I'm going to be having my first Christmas celebration. I cooked a ton all weekend and fed these kids like crazy. I have my next group of family coming in this Friday from Georgetown, 4 grandkids in the works. And so I have a second Christmas celebration, and I haven't even had Christmas yet. So I know how crazy life can be, but it's our choice that we take quiet time and we get things done that are self-honoring. So make sure, this is some of the most self-honoring work that you can do, is this week's homework and last week's from my Monday call. All right, everybody, love you. Have a great week. Talk to you next Monday.